No, I just want the record to indicate, Wilbur over here, that that we're missing about 20 or 25 minutes from the tape because it clicked off and we didn't hear it. So.
My question again is, who all was agreement, Professor Colin Wardy was consulted, or their consultation is not even mentioned in it?
I told you that there are three minhagim of Tanoim, three different ways of doing it. There are also various versions. in the older versions, before Rav Moshe Feinstein, the ones we've inherited from Eastern Europe and Western Europe, we handled your problem in one of two ways. Within the text of the Tanoim, there was a line that says, "Vishalnu es piha," and we asked for her consent, meaning the kala. V'omra hein, and she said yes. Why? Because the bottom line is, gal, that I don't care who you are, I don't care what your problems are, I don't care how far you went. You can be three steps from the chuppah, and you decide to stop and turn around. You are entitled, al pi halacha, to break the shidduch any time and at any stage. Will there be problems if you do such a thing? Okay, that's a different story. But if you have cold feet, get going. Simple as that. It is your right. All right? Well, hold on. For sure. Again, the kala is the kala. A second minhag is to ask the chassan and the kala for more validity, meaning for a symbol to show that, as you say, this is nothing more than two families getting together. That's the noyim. That the king and the queen may be mama and papa on each side. That the kids are nothing more than pawns. Remember one thing, that on this chessboard, these pawns are the whole game. So that when they do sign, it is an indicator that they indeed have agreed to everything that has been discussed. Which kind of debunks the image that we have, and I'm sure it has happened, of particularly Russian and Polish families, where a father will come home, you know, Tevye will come home and say, "Tzaitel, mazel tov, you became a kala." Who, what, when, where, why, how? Don't worry, I took care of everything. Now, that could very well have happened. No two ways about it. And it doesn't startle me any, because it is no different than you going out and buying your daughter a dress and coming and saying, "Esty, take a look, I got your new Shabbos dress." You know? Who, what, when? Did you give me a choice? What choice? I know your size, and this is your dress. No real difference. You are expected to clothe your child. And up until World War I, or surely World War I, maybe a little after, you were expected to marry off your child also. It's a parent's responsibility to marry him off. But ultimately, the child has to give consent. If there is no consent, forget about it. And therefore, the Tanoim had this, line on the bottom, that maybe, if you want, the chassan kala can sign, or at least some reference in the text that the kala was consulted. Now, why isn't it here, you ask? No big deal. You know, because if you're sitting at a chuppah, and it's 20 minutes before the chuppah, probably if you're dressed the way you are, then you probably were asked if you want to get married. You know? And if the chosin is sitting the way he is in his tuxedo or whatever, pardon me, although he may have been, you know, handcuffed and schlepped to the wedding, he probably knew what was coming off. You see. And it says over here, Hakol Na'aseh, you know, the last section, Kol Zeh Na'aseh, everything was done B'Deah Shlema, with full awareness, Umi Yusheves, and in total consideration. You see. And that is Tanoim. Which brings us smack to the only next step, and that is the actual wedding ceremony. The core of the wedding ceremony, again, is the ksuba, which after this I think should be a heck of a lot easier for you to understand. I've laid the foundations for you to understand it. We'll go through the entire ceremony. I think I still have... Oh, yes. Okay, we'll do that. I still have, for the next session, copies of the little booklet that you distributed at your wedding. We'll go through that. Okay, as far as the breaking of Tanoim are concerned. Okay, how do you get to the point? How do you get to break them?
No, I mean that you're saying it's no big deal to break it.
I am saying that there has been such an incredible Tanoim per se. Go back 50 years, 100, 200 years, 300 years. Go back to the time, 200 years of the Vilna Gaon, let's say, time of the American Revolution. People felt that in the breaking of Tanoim, the ultimate disaster would befall their family. Because if you are a family that goes and takes two kids and brings them together and creates all of this anticipation, all of this excitement, and for over, I don't know, because you don't want one of the things that the chassan wants, and you won't give in to him no matter what, you're going to break these, you know, the shidduch, then there may just be a hidden character trait in your family that is terribly ugly. People feared the stigma of breaking tonight. And a word was a word. Okay, things have to change. But you should have considered a little more before you took two young kids and made them crazy this way. You are liable to jeopardize the shidduch prospects of your child for a long, long time to come. Is this valid? I don't know, you tell me. Is it valid today? I don't know, to an extent, to a certain extent and in certain circles, yes.
That is to go through the wedding,
yeah,
rather than
the
wedding. So
divorce
is okay?
Yeah, watch. They say, you know, listen to me. They. You know, the question is, who is the they? Faggy, listen. I'm going to try to answer for they. I don't know who the they is, but I gave it a lot of thought. Your family and my family, we sit down and we write to know him. Something goes wrong. Our kids are not married yet, correct? All kinds of tales are going to be hanging from this shidduch. No two ways about it. That may jeopardize a shidduch on your part further or on my part. The hesitancy of other people to get involved is obvious. But, watch the cop-out. Kids get married. We are not Catholics. We know that there are times when it doesn't go. That may be less of a stigma than the first. Do you agree with it? Is it proper? Should you follow that way? That's a different story altogether. But I am trying to answer for you why the, you know, where this came from. In my humble estimation, this is the reason. Does it hold logic? Does it hold water for today's situation? Surely not. If I see that a couple is destined to be destroyed by their being married, I will not participate. I'll do everything in the world to see that they not get married. Who am I to judge? I'm no one to judge. But after all is said and done, if you're coming to me and asking me to, so to speak, solemnize your marriage and to participate in it, then I got to know if this shidduch is right. And if it's totally wrong, leave me alone. Like, you know, at the last session, I referred to someone sitting here, two Israelis. Out of the clear blue sky, they arrived just a couple of days after they came to the United States of America. She's 21, 22. He's 44. He's divorced once. with a couple of kids in Israel, and she's never been married and can't prove it. And all of a sudden she comes and wants to get married, lands up over here. Where are you going to live? I'm going to live in Forest Hills, in Little Tel Aviv. Okay, so what do you want me for? Well, they said that you. I'm going to go ahead and even deal with these things? Obviously there's something screwy there somewhere. The same thing here. You see that the shidduch is not right, whether it's the families or whatever it is. If you decide that you want to go ahead and go through with it, then get your get. Do it that way. Life is a very funny situation. But after all is said and done, you try to prevent a wedding. There are no two ways about it. This aura, they say because social sanctions, social sanctions necessarily had to be invoked. I'll tell you why. Because you know every Jewish family. They see that other one, turn up, the family gets here. Look at that. Doesn't have an ounce of flesh on him. Hey, Lebena, a skeleton. That's going to work and support my daughter. Look at her. Right? That's going to milk the cow and bear children and worry when they're sick. And that's going to be able to wash the dishes also and feed my Mendela, my Yankala. What can you do? The only thing you can do is shoot the parents. If you shoot all the parents, you won't have children, and we won't have to sit here and worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? People are people. Oh, but if I go ahead and invoke a certain social stigma on this, then maybe you, from both sides, will shut our mouths. I can't control what I think. That's my business. I can't control what you think. That's your business. But shternish kan shidduch. Don't open up your mouth. I won't open up my mouth. Otherwise, God forbid, this is broken. It is irreparable. I don't care how much crazy glue you have. You'll try to put it together after this is broken. Is it ever going to be the same? It's never going to be the same. The family and the reputation will always have cracks in it. There'll always be a piece missing somewhere that flew off, and you'll never be able to repair it properly. So that's what they say. All right? What? You break it, and that's it. Send out a postcard and say it's all over. I'm talking about today. What if Chas v'Sholem, you write to Noam and you have to break it? So you break it. No, dear. No, dear. No. I know what you're talking about. There is no real. No. There is none. No. That's part of the aura. That's part of the aura. Okay? No. Now you'll understand why it is impossible to demand a get for this. Because of what we learn next time. Yes, I admit to you that if you lived 1,000 years ago in the times of Rashi, the marriage situation was a little different. The whole procedure was somewhat different than now. Now, we all walk down to the chuppah, correct? And you may have noticed that there are two glasses of wine that are used. One at the beginning, then the ksuba is read, then one at the end. The two glasses of wine represent two totally different stages of the so-called ceremony of marriage that used to be separated by as much as a year, one from another. That the brachas of the first one, with the giving of the ring, hareyat mekudeshesli, were done now, and the reading and the writing of the kesuba and the sheva brachas, which is the second glass of wine, and the breaking of the cup, were done a year later, when you were ready to actually consummate the marriage. And in that year or less, each of the sides were given time to prepare whatever they had to prepare. If you were going to live with your husband's family, they had to build a room. So they built a room. Okay? Needed furniture? Built furniture. You needed a trousseau and clothing and bedding and so on? You had to make it. Spin the fiber, take the fiber and weave, sew, whatever else is necessary. If in the first part, you know, at the beginning of the year, and you weren't living together, if in the first part you wanted to break the wedding, after the Harayat Mekudeshet, even though you break the relationship, that is, even though the wedding will be consummated yet in a year, you needed a get from the first part. You see, you never cooked for him a day. You surely didn't sleep with him. Okay? You're living in your parents' home. It's nothing more than what you would call today what? Engagement. You needed a get from that. But since today, since the times of the Crusade in Rashi, since the 1100s, the minhag has been not to separate the Kiddushin from the Nisuin, the first part from the second part, the first cup of wine from the second cup of wine, by more than the reading of the Ksuba, then anything before the Chuppah would need nothing more than just a broken word, and that's it. But this, again, this is a misconception that has stayed with us through history. And if you didn't understand me here, if it isn't clear as to the two parts, when we get to the wedding ceremony and you have the actual ceremony printed in front of you, I will show you exactly the way it was done. Yes, ma'am?
The first part is for the heirs, isn't it?
Yeah? Second part. Kiddushin. First part is Kiddushin. No. First part, heirs and Kiddushin is the same. Okay, and the second part is Nisui. Yeah. Yeah.
In Rashi's time, if a woman broke that first part and refused to get, could that woman marry her?
No. She's a Megoreshes. She's a Megoreshes. No two ways about it. She is a divorcer. Once a get, once you have a get is a get. And simple as that.
Where is this found in the first place?
It. What is it? It's, how far back does it originate? It originates as far back as pre-Shulchan Aruch. Because remember, this is the establishment of a partnership. America, pre-World War II. Europe always did it. Now, to my knowledge, Europe always did it. America, we started to develop new customs after World War II. And we had the influx of Poland and Russia and Chassidus. And Baruch Hashem, this swing back to the right. So we want to do it like Europe. But Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses a very important problem. You know, doing it like Europe, there's nothing wrong with it. But doing it in an absurd way, because there are different social demands or different social relationships now, is only taking Tanoim. And, you know, it's really in balance. Which is more of a joke? This lofty document or the meaningless document of the traditional form?
That's
all. Okay. That's intellectually honest. You know your father to be an intellectually honest man since the day he was born. If you forgot it, I'll just remind you. That's the nature of the person. Okay? Let me give you, for instance, just one phrase of where the traditional, the old ones, the old thing specified. Bishaelas Pidyov Omrahain. Number one, we asked her consent and she said yes. And therefore, the Chosan obligates himself to give gifts to the Kala according to his status and Kanahug, what is the Minhag. And the Kala also obligated herself to enter the marriage with an Adunya, with a dowry, amounting to X numbers of whatever, whether it be cash, clothing, bedding, and so on and so forth. You know, a whole inventory, a total inventory. You had an inventory listed over there that if you needed it for insurance purposes before you got married, you know, you just handed him the tanoim. You knew what the dollar value was of everything that you had. And then, finally, time of the chasana will be so on and so on. B'shara tova u'mitzvachas. All of this, having been discussed and agreed upon, has been entered into al ba'ofen hayotel mo'il, in the most proper way, al pitikun chachamenu zichronim livracha, according to Chazal, and it was with a kinyan sudar. And not only that, on both sides we have an ored kablan, we have the guarantors, the financial underwriters, that in case this one breaks, there will be a penalty of X numbers of dollars. Okay? For damages sustained. That's the way it goes. That's the call tonight. But I begin, I end with where I started. In case Tanoim are not for you, your children or your grandchildren, whichever the case may be, shall not be spiritually tainted. Secondly, if you use Rav Moshe Feinstein's document, which is a lofty statement, I don't think that there is anything to laugh at. If you find it meaningless, fine. And finally, the breaking of the plate probably is the most difficult of all things in the wedding procedure. If you can commit yourself, and no matter what happens, you are not going to turn back, even though your child's mother-in-law turns out to be a beast, then you are truly a humane and superior individual. My case rests.